Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I normally chat with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve is on assignment this week, so we have the next best thing. We have Leticia Munoz. She is the second vice chairwoman and executive director north for the Republican Party of New Mexico. Leticia, how are you?
I am doing good, Derek. Thank you so much for having me.
I have to ask you first your thoughts on the old Hunter Biden situation and his plea deal.
Well, no one was surprised. We all saw this coming. I suspect that Hunter Biden is now going to have to answer for some of these things that are going to start coming out. I am a little surprised that the DOJ is minimizing it. We know that if it was Donald Trump Jr., they would definitely be giving him a life sentence.
Oh, he'd be in jail already.
Like, yeah, yes, exactly.
And quite honestly, he should be if he did what Hunter did, and so should Hunter.
Exactly. So we have to ask, why is there two forms of justice for different families? Trump always would say that he thought that he was part of the elitist group, but he's obviously not, because his family doesn't get treated like the real elitist groups. And I would consider Biden family in that realm.
Well, and this isn't over. This part is. And in a way, it's good, because now it's not a pending case, so they can release the information. But they're still investigating the $5 million kickbacks that they got from foreign governments. And so, and some of that even went through the grandchildren and then kicked up, as it says, to the big guy. So it's not over. Just this particular case is over. But there's a lot of investigation still going on the Biden family.
Yes, yes. And we do have to wonder and come to realize that the DOJ is definitely weaponized. When you look at the documents that the House of Representatives Oversight Committee has on the Biden family, assuming that there were favors given, we know that they're going to call these a misdemeanor, that the DOJ has to be weaponized, because we know that this is not a misdemeanor.
Well, you look at the raid on Mar-a-Lago for the president's documents, and whether he declassified those documents or not. He says he did. They're saying he didn't. But the documents that then Vice President Biden had in his garage next to his Corvette weren't declassified, because a vice president can't declassify. So did both of them do wrong and they're just choosing to go after Trump?
I would say so. And that's why I believe that the DOJ is weaponized.
There's a report from June 13th, 2023, according to the Pew Center. New Mexico is one of 18 states that lost population from July of 2021 to July of 2022. Not a lot, but more than the states around us, some which gained population, especially Texas. But we lost 0.16% of our population. Why do you suppose that is?
So you really have to go back to 2020. What happened in 2020? The governor locked us down. People were not able to go to church. The kids were not able to go to school. And after a year of that, families were leaving. They were saying they don't see any end in sight of this.
Well, other states had opened up, but
exactly.
And to your point, it was what, just last May, just a month ago, that they finally removed all the restrictions.
Yes, exactly. And so for a whole 2 years, people are locked down. People are still wearing masks. They're still in fear of whether they're going to have to be taken out of the school systems for their kids, summer programs, etc. And some of the people just couldn't take that anymore. It's not just COVID. It wasn't just being locked down. It was the reelection of the governor, which everyone has seen as just a disaster. And they don't want to be part of living in a state where a government takes full control over everything.
Part of it too, Leticia, I think, is if you owned a business, so many businesses were shut down. People lost their livelihoods. They had to go to another state to survive. I know when we had Steve Pierce on during that time, he was talking about being down in Hobbs, and they're just 3 miles from Texas. People were just moving over the state line.
Yes, exactly. And to be honest with you, when living up here in Rio Rancho and my family living in Las Cruces, they weren't able to go to a restaurant and eat. They would just go right across the border into El Paso just to have dinner.
Yeah.
So yeah, having a lot of the businesses and restaurants close is definitely very sad, that people had to just leave New Mexico. We lost jobs when that happened. People lost their livelihood. And I can see why they went to other states where they had more freedom.
You know, Leticia, it's getting sad watching President Biden struggle through his presidency. He made a comment the other day that everybody was just kind of scratching their head. And I'll play this real quick for our listeners. and then we'll respond.
And maybe most important, I've committed that by 2020, we will have conserved 30% of all the lands and waters the United States has jurisdiction over, and simultaneously reduce emissions to blunt climate impact.
Now, we can debate the whole climate change thing, but the scary part of that was the leader of the free world said by 2020. Does he not know it's 2023?
Well, I think most of us would know and understand and recognize that to say that it's not a gaffe. He is not aware. And unless he was reading something that he was back in 2017 and planning for that to have happened by 2020 and just know that it never happened. And so why is he still talking about it? Or he really meant 2024.
Or 2030. You know, we don't know.
Right, right. Yeah. We'll just never know. We just never know. And if we bring it to light and talk about it and tease or whatever, then the left will just say that it's a gaffe. It's a common mistake, but he makes those common mistakes a lot.
Yeah, and I don't want to make fun of him. It's sad. I mean, you hate to see somebody, but there's a lot of people I know his age and older who are sharp as a tack.
Yes.
So it's not because of he's in his 80s. It's him specifically.
Yes. And a lot of times I have to actually wonder if the information that he's giving is actually either not written accurately, he's not reading it off the teleprompter accurately. You just have to really wonder, because a lot of the information he gives is not accurate.
Yeah, what's correct and
yes,
what isn't. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, this one was obvious. We know that that's not correct. You have to feel bad for him in a way, but he's our leader of the free world. I'm talking with Leticia Munoz. She is the second vice chairwoman and executive director north of the Republican Party of New Mexico. New Mexico is last in another category, child well-being. We'll talk about that next on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with Leticia Munoz. She is the second vice chairwoman and executive director north of the Republican Party of New Mexico. New Mexico ranks last in child well-being. We have a report here from KRQE Channel 13. Let's let our listeners hear that.
According to a new report, New Mexico ranks as the worst state in the country for child well-being. Last year, New Mexico ranked 49th in the National Kids Count Data Book. The report is released every year analyzing children and parent needs. Now, this year's study included data on child care, child poverty, and pay for early educators. Despite our low ranking, the study is optimistic that the state is making progress, citing New Mexico's recent push to bring down the cost of early education.
Okay, here we go again. Why do you suppose this is happening?
Yeah, I'm very hopeful for children that are in school right now. This is kind of a topic that's near and dear to my heart because my son is autistic and he does not speak, so obviously does not read. And he has really struggled in the schools getting the services that he needs. So when I look at all the other kids that are in general ed and they are also unable to read, you really have to question all this time. You know, I'm focused on my son and the autism and the special needs services that he's getting, but yet the kids in the general ed are also not getting the actual services of learning how to read and write. I brought this up on social media the other day, and one of my friends on there that we follow each other, she's from Cibola County, she's a teacher. And there was a report out by KRQE, and they mentioned a program that 8 New Mexico schools are the model schools for literacy. 8 schools in New Mexico, they're following the science of reading to ensure that literacy instruction is in the spotlight. Okay, so she told me she was part of that program, and helping teach is something that she is passionate about, but she sees the road ahead and how difficult it is because the kids are already so far behind. She told me that 30% of fourth graders nationally can read at that grade level. 30% of fourth graders. And that's such a low percentage. So if that's nationally and New Mexico is last, where are we in that percentage? So yeah, it's very discouraging.
I asked this question to a lot of our leaders at the Roundhouse, and nobody can really give me an answer. You look at places like Rio Rancho, award-winning school system, Hobbs, Los Alamos. Why don't the failing school systems look at what those school systems are doing instead of reinventing the wheel? Just do that.
Right. It seems that we're not working together as a state. First of all, the school system here in New Mexico is not unified. If we were, that would be happening. There would be programs to reach out to each schools that are doing it better, that are able to accomplish certain goals and teach other schools. But the fact is that the state is so divided in so many different ways that this is just another one of those things that kids are going to continue to suffer in each school where they're failing.
We're going to have our minority leader in the House on, and he's going to speak about a possible solution to this in a bill that he got passed in a bipartisan way. And that'll be coming up in the next segment.
Yes, that was a really great opportunity for parents, and I hope that they will take advantage of that. Many of these bills that are passed that benefit parents and schools, a lot of the schools themselves, counselors, et cetera, are not informing the parents. So we're going to have to do a better job of getting the word out to these parents about this bill that Representative Leader Ryan is going to talk about.
I want to ask you about gas stoves, because this is a controversy. Now, I have a gas stove in my house, and I'm glad I have two forms of energy. One cold winter evening, the electricity went out throughout my whole neighborhood. And I was able to use a gas oven to keep warm. I turned the gas oven on, opened the door, and sit in the kitchen and stay warm. Because obviously there was no electricity to run the fan for my heater. I have a gas heater, but you have to have an electric fan to blow the warm air.
Yes.
This is from something called Errors of Enchantment. Why is New Mexico not realizing its potential? And it's a story from June 16th. Gas stove updates. Biden-Heinrich Congress weigh in. The debate over gas stoves continues apace with several news items from the past few weeks. Senator Martin Heinrich again claims that no effort or plan is underway to ban gas stoves. But in response to a federal court ruling that prohibited local governments from banning gas stoves, the Biden administration has filed a friend of the court or amicus brief in support of local stove bans, even though the ruling said that the power was reserved for the federal government. And we see where New York has banned gas stoves in new construction. Well, didn't they just say that isn't legal? It has to be done by the federal government. And so if Senator Heinrich is saying that there's no push to ban gas stoves, and Berkeley, California did it, New York City is doing it, so obviously there is.
Exactly. And so we do fear here in New Mexico if that's going to happen here. I'm like you. I enjoy my gas stove.
Yes.
And I have seen Senator Heinrich flip-flop back and forth. He was on Twitter and social media talking about taking your gas stove and then flip-flops and says, no, I never said that.
Well, that's the thing with social media. Once you say it, it's there.
Exactly.
And so, exactly. You know, you can't go back. Now, they're saying it's causing the planet to heat up. I'll bet you, Leticia, that a volcano going off causes a lot more of the planet heating up than my stove does.
Exactly. And this just seems to be more of a partisan issue in my mind, especially here in New Mexico. I think it was out of the three House representatives that represent New Mexico, two of them voted to ban the gas stoves, and Gabe Vasquez from CD2 did not vote to ban the gas stove.
So what is the prime industry in CD2?
Exactly. Oil and gas. So yeah. Of course he's going to vote that way.
Because when he ran for office, he said, keep the oil in the ground.
Exactly.
The Republican Party of New Mexico has a big event coming up next month in July. Leticia, tell us about it.
Well, on July 22nd, we are having our big Lincoln Day celebration. It's a full day's worth of fun with the Republican Party. It's going to kick off with 11 o'clock. Adrian Pena Garza is going to come from Texas and help everybody learn how she flipped her blue county to red. And then we're going to have a power lunch hour with Casey and Mike Peterson informing us about how they have been going and exposing some of the things that are going on around the state in the school system. And then we're going to have some breakout sessions and have some training for volunteers to come and learn how to join our voter resource teams. And if you want to run for office, we're going to have a breakout session on what to know, what to do for potential candidates. And then we're going to have a social hour, and then we're going to have a really great dinner. So it's going to be a whole day of fun together with the Republican Party on July 22nd.
And I see that's at the Hotel Albuquerque at Old Town, 800 Rio Grande Boulevard Northwest in Albuquerque. And I see Congressman Wesley Hunt from Texas's 38th District will be there as well.
Yes, he's actually going to be our guest speaker for dinner. So if you want to sign up, you just go to our website at newmexico.gop and scroll down to Lincoln Day Dinner.
Okay, and of course, the Republican Party was founded as abolitionists to free the slaves, and President Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican president, and he did free the slaves.
Yes, yes, he did, and that is much to be celebrated, and we will be doing that on July 22nd.
I've been talking with Leticia Munoz, the second vice chairwoman and executive director north of the Republican Party of New Mexico. In just a moment, we'll hear an interview that the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, did with KOAT Action 7 News, and our minority leader of the House of Representatives in New Mexico, Republican Ryan Lane, will tell us about how he's working to help our students in New Mexico. That's coming up on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. The chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, was interviewed this week by Lindsay Barber from KOAT Action 7 News in Albuquerque. She wanted his thoughts on the Hunter Biden plea deal. Here is that interview.
We have this Hunter Biden plea deal today. It looks like there won't be any time behind bars, and I am wondering, what are your thoughts?
The House of Representatives Committee on Oversight has documents in its hands, which show that the Biden family took $10 million in payments, and you have to assume it's for favors granted. And so we get a misdemeanor out of all of that. I don't think any other American would experience that kind of favor from the DOJ, which says, I believe that the Biden DOJ is doing what he wants them to.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask, if you think the DOJ is kind of been weaponized.
Yeah, it's been weaponized for a long time. If you remember all the way back to the Obama election, the DOJ, the FBI fabricated evidence against Senator Stevens up in Alaska, and Senator Stevens lost that re-election by about 1,000 votes after they trashed his character. And later came out that the DOJ created that. It was none of it true, but Obama had the 60 votes he needed to do anything in the Senate. And 60 votes in the Senate is a huge deal. And it came because of the DOJ being weaponized. And yes, it's still being weaponized.
This isn't just related to Hunter or the Bidens, but there are a lot of legal cases. I feel like this election cycle more than previous. Do you think that's going to play much of a role in the 2024 election? And if so, how?
Yeah, I personally don't think so. The left, the Democrat progressives are very good at changing the subject, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to say, no, the judge cut a deal with him because it was really nothing. It was just a misdemeanor. And they're going to try to sweep all of the corruption under the rug. But the recordings are out there where that high-placed official in the Ukraine is just saying, yeah, that we talked to the big man, we talked to Hunter, and we had to pay not $50,000 apiece, but $5 million apiece. That's the $10 million that basically the Oversight Committee has documentation of. I think the take of all Americans is going to be about the same, that I would never get such favored treatment, or nor would anybody in the Trump family if they had just simply forgotten to pay their taxes. And where in the world is Hunter Biden making $1.5 million a year? I mean, that's significant. And so that has its own questions, but none of those matter. It's the $10 million that appear to be payola that should be under investigation.
Thank you.
The minority leader of the House of Representatives in New Mexico, Republican Ryan Lane, worked with majority floor leader, Democrat Senator Peter Wirth, to get a bill through that helps New Mexico children. With me on the telephone is the minority leader for our House of Representatives in New Mexico, Ryan Lane. How are you, sir?
Good, Derek. Thanks. Appreciate you having me on again.
Well, we're excited to talk about a bill that you got bipartisan support for, which is good for our New Mexico kids. Tell us about it.
Yeah, actually, this was one of the big victories of the session for Republicans in the House. What it does is it changes our laws in New Mexico regarding our 529 accounts. And so those 529 accounts, for those who may not be as familiar with them, is they're pretty amazing accounts. So essentially, you can make a tax-deductible transfer into these 529 accounts for a child, a grandchild, a neighbor, anyone who traditionally is going to go to college, and you get a tax deduction, and essentially it's like a 401k or an IRA where you choose index funds and it grows over time, and then you take money out to spend on college, and you don't get taxed on the growth or what you pull out as long as it's for allowable expenses, and in the meantime, for each donation, you get a tax write-off. So why does that matter, though, for New Mexico kids? Well, so far up to this year, it's been strictly limited to just paying for college. And so this was one of the big wins that we had in the House, is we've now extended those 529 accounts to where now you can actually dip into those accounts to pay for things like trade schools, to actually pay back student loans. And then the big one for us is you can now, for the first time in New Mexico, use these 529 accounts to pay for private K-12 tuition.
That's huge. So if you're in an area of the state or a city where schools aren't too good, you don't have to have your child go to that school.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So maybe private tuition is a little out of your price range, or you've got a grandchild that you'd love to see move to a private school. Maybe it fits their sort of style of learning better. These can help our working families because, again, like I mentioned, you actually get a tax deduction for the amount you contribute into these 529 accounts. And so that lowers the amount of taxes you pay at the end of the year, which helps make these private schools more affordable for our working class families.
So what did it take to get that done?
Just moving heaven and earth, that's all. You know, my sponsor was the Senate Majority Leader, Peter Wirth, Democrat out of Santa Fe. Some people might wonder about sort of that pairing, but the reality is this is a bill that's good for all of New Mexico's children. And I think there's something in it for really all walks of life, whether it's college bound, whether it's trade schools, whether it's private K-12 education. And so I think this is a bill that just made sense. I think there's so many different types of people, so many different viewpoints, that it was just a natural fit for being a bipartisan bill.
Well, I think this goes to this new flavor, shall we say, we feel with you as a minority leader and a new majority leader, that it's not just a my way or the highway. And this is what New Mexicans want: work together and get something done. And you did.
You know, I appreciate that, Derek. So I think a lot of New Mexicans look around and we need help in so many different areas. And I know we talk a lot about crime. We talk a lot about economic development, those kind of issues. But the reality is, if we don't fix the foundation, which is education, it's just going to be Band-Aids. And so I look at this 529 fix. Is it the silver bullet for New Mexico's education? Of course not. It's not. But it's one brick that I think we can put back in the wall to sort of create that better foundation. And it's one thing for our wealthy among us, they send their kids to private school, and I'm in support of that. I don't have a problem with that. But what about the working class people? I don't think your child should be forced to go to whatever zip code they happen to be born into, that local school, whatever it happens to be. I think we need to give our working class families more option when it comes to educating their kids.
What were the governor's thoughts on this?
You know, the governor's office liked it. We had a lot of support, actually, from the Secretary of Higher Education. She was a big fan of this bill. That helped a lot. The 529 account, the New Mexico plan, they were big supporters of this bill, so that helped a lot as well. And I think the governor saw the reality is that we need help when it comes to education. And the fact that you can use these 529 accounts to pay for trade schools too is a big deal. You know, I think oftentimes we sort of fall into this mindset that every kid has to go to college. And I think that does a disservice to a lot of our graduating seniors. And trade schools, you can make it a heck of a living these days going into trades. And so here's another option to help make those trade schools more affordable. And it includes, you know, all of your equipment and everything else you would need to buy when it comes to enrolling in these trade schools. So I think it's going to open up a lot of doors for our New Mexico kids.
Now, how would somebody listening to us today take advantage of this?
You can log on to the New Mexico Education Plan. They have a FAQ section, FAQ section, that answers a bunch of questions. They can walk you through setting up a 529 account. Financial advisors also can help with 529 accounts. There's employers that actually offer 529 accounts as well. And if there are employers out there that are interested in offering these, they don't cost you anything. You can reach out to the New Mexico 529 folks and they can help you walk you through that. Maybe you're a parent, a grandparent. Really, these are pretty easy accounts to set up, and then you just start funding them on whatever basis you want, whether that's monthly, annually, you know, random gifts. They're pretty straightforward when it comes to setting them up.
Well, very good. I'm talking with our minority leader for the House of Representatives in New Mexico, Ryan Lane from Aztec, New Mexico. And we sure appreciate you getting stuff done for us.
Yeah, thanks, Derek. I appreciate the support. You know, I think as House Republicans, we're trying to focus on moving New Mexico forward and not just simply have political hot air, even though, you know, I know that's hard to for some people to think of politicians actually trying to make a difference. But I know that's our goal. Even though we may be in the minority, we're trying to find ways to still be effective and make a difference for our people.
Sounds like you did. Ryan, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Derek.
If you'd like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you would like to speak to someone in person, call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. I'm Derek Underhill, and I look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.